بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 17th hadith from the compilation Al-Arba'un Al-Nawawiyyah, the 40 hadith which Al-Imam Al-Nawawi rahimullahi compiled. And it is the hadith of Abu Ya'la Shaddad ibn Aws radiyallahu anhu. An Abi Ya'la Shaddad ibn Aws radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. An Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Inna Allaha katab al-ihsana ala kulli shay. Fa'idha qataltum fa'ahsinu al-qitla. Wa'idha dhabahtum fa'ahsinu al-dhibha. وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ رواه المسلم. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, upon the authority of Abu Ya'la Shaddad ibn Aws radiyallahu anhu, verily Allah has decreed al-ihsan upon everything. So if you kill, then kill well. And if you slaughter, then slaughter well. Each one of you should sharpen his knife and relax the slaughtered animal. And the hadith is in Sahih Muslim. And in explaining this hadith, as usual, it will be done in four sections. Firstly, a brief biography of the narrator of the hadith. Secondly, the general theme or the general meaning of the hadith. Thirdly, the detailed discussion or meaning of the hadith, and fourthly, a list of some of the benefits which can be taken and deduced from this hadith. So this hadith has been narrated by the virtuous companion Abu Ya'la Shaddad ibn Aws radiyallahu ta'ala an, and his name is Shaddad ibn Aws ibn Thabit ibn al-Mundhir, from the people of al-Madinah. So he is al-Ansari. And he is the nephew of Hassan ibn Thabit, radiallahu an. And as you know, Hassan ibn Thabit was the poet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Thabit had two sons, Hassan and Aws. And then Aws had a son called Shaddad. So therefore he is the nephew of Hassan ibn Thabit, Sha'ir Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, when he passed away, then this companion Shaddad, Abu Ya'la, he migrated from Al-Madinah to Philistine, to Bayt al-Maqdis, to Jerusalem. And he died, he lived and he died in Philistine 58 Hijri, 58 years after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is said regarding Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu anhu, that when the fitna occurred between the companions, when the confusion occurred between the companions, and after Uthman radiallahu anhu was murdered by some of the rebels, that Shaddad ibn Aws, he isolated himself from the people because it was a time of fitna, a time of confusion, and therefore he isolated himself from the fitna and he isolated himself from the people, so as not to add anything to the fitna. And of course, the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would advise some people to isolate themselves from the people when fitna occurs, and he would advise others to try to rectify the fitna. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, الَّذِي يُخَالِطَ النَّاسِ وَيَصْبِرَ عَلَى الْأَذَى خَيْرٌ مِنَ الَّذِي لَا يُخَالِطَ النَّاسِ. That the person who mixes with the people and he is patient over their harms is better than a person who isolates himself from the people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Unsur akhaka zaliman kana am mazluman." Help your brother, whether he's the oppressor or whether he's the one who is being oppressed. And how do we help somebody who is the oppressor? By preventing him from his oppression. However, when there is fitna, a person involving himself in the fitna and mixing with the people and advising the people and trying to rectify the situation is based upon a person's individual ability. So some people, their ability and their knowledge, it doesn't allow them to mix in the fitna. So they should stay away from it. And other people, like the scholars, the ulama, the tulab al-ilm, the mashayikh, they have the ability to enter into this fitna and try to resolve the situation, and therefore they should do so. So at the end of the day, it comes back to a person's ability. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا رَأَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ مُنْكِرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. If one of you sees an evil, then he should change it with his hand. فَإِن لَّمْ يَسْتَطِعْ. However, if he does not have the ability to do so, فَبِلِسَانِهِ. Then speak against it with your tongue. فَإِن لَّمْ يَسْتَطِعْ. And if he doesn't have the ability to do so, فَبِقَلْبِهِ. Then hate it in your heart. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And this is the weakest level of al-Iman. So notice from this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took it back to a person's ability. If you have the ability to do so, then you should do so. If you don't have the ability to do so, then you should stay away from the fitna. And one of the greatest calamities which have affected the ummah today is regarding people who involve themselves in fitna and they don't have the ability and they don't have the knowledge, and nor should they involve themselves in this fitna. So you find some people, every fitna, every dispute between two scholars, any issue which happens globally, they feel that they have to get involved and they have to speak. They have to have an opinion and they have to force other people to also have an opinion. Or they have to begin testing the people on which side you have taken with regards to the dispute which has happened between these two scholars. And this is incorrect. And from the wisdoms which have been passed down from the Salaf is the saying, Rahimullah imra'an, عَرَفَ قَدْرَ نَفْسِهِ فَوَقَفَ عِنْدَهُ. May Allah have mercy upon a person who knows his own limits and he stops at his own limits. So this fitna today of people involving themselves in any and every fitna and every dispute between the scholars and every issue which affects the ummah, it is because they don't know their own limit. And so they exceed their own limit. And this statement, Rahimullah imra'an, عَرَفَ قَدْرَ نَفْسِهِ فَوَقَفَ عِنْدَهُ. May Allah have mercy upon a person who knows his own limit and he stops at his limit. It's not a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. However, the statement is attributed to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimullah wa radiyallahu anhu. And it is narrated that one day, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he was informed that his son had bought a ring worth 1,000 dirham. Because Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he was the ruler of the lands, he was the Khalifa. And therefore his son was a prince, or his son was somebody who had wealth and authority. So he purchased a ring which is worth 1,000 dirham. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimullah, he wrote to his son. He said, إِنَّهُ بَلَغَنِي أَنَّكَ اشْتَرَيْتَ خَاتِمًا بِأَلْفِ dirham. He said, it has reached me that you have purchased a ring which is worth 1,000 dirham. He said, فَبِعْهُ. So sell it. وَأَطْعِمْ مِنْهُ أَلْفَ جَائِعِ. And with its price, feed 1,000 poor people. وَاشْتَرِي خَاتِمًا مِنْ حَدِيدِ. And then buy a ring which is made from iron, and then write on it, on this ring, engrave on this ring, رَحِمُ اللَّهِ إِمْرَأً عَرَفَ قَدْرَ نَفْسِهِ فَوَقَفَ عِنْدَهُ. May Allah have mercy upon a person who knows his own limits and therefore he stops at his own limits. So a person, a Muslim, who knows his qadr, he knows his own limits, and he knows his own self, and he knows his weakness, he humbles himself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he humbles himself in front of the other people. And as you know, arrogance and pride, وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ, and belittling the people, this is from the major sins. وَمَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ, and whoever humbles himself in front of Allah, then Allah raises him. So this is important, especially in a time when there's fitan, when there's confusion and disputes between the scholars, that we should know our limits and we remain silent. We don't enter into the disputes between the scholars. And regarding Abu Ya'la Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu anhu, it is said regarding him that when the fitna, when the dispute occurred between the Sahaba alayhim ridwanullah, then he stopped speaking. He only spoke very little. And it is narrated that one day, two travelers, they traveled all the way to Palestine in order to go visit him. Why? Because he's Sahabi. He is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when they visited him, he did not speak at all. However, when he found out that both of them are travelers and they have come from a journey, he said to his ghulam, he said to his servant, "Isna' lana ta'aman," make food for us and make food for them, meaning the guests. So when these two travelers, when they heard Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu anhu speaking, then they started laughing. So Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu anhu, he said, "Ma arani illa mufariqukuma," that I have no other option except that I should abandon both of you. That as soon as I speak, then you start laughing. So they said to him, "Rahimakallah," they said, "May Allah have mercy upon you. Innaka kunta takadu la tatakallam bikalima." When we first came, you never spoke even a word. "Falamma takallamt," so when you finally spoke, "lam natamalak illa an dhahikna," then we weren't able to control ourselves. So we started laughing because you are Sahabi and we want to hear you speaking. So they were happy that he was speaking. So then Shaddad radiallahu anhu, he said, "Uzawwidukuma hadithan kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yu'allimuna fi as-safari wal hadar." He said, "I will give you something extra, a hadith which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would admonish us with when we were traveling or when we were resident." Fa'amlahu alayna fa'hafidhna. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would dictate this hadith upon us and we would memorize this hadith, this dua. And the dua is, "Allahumma inni as'aluka al-thabata fil amr." Oh Allah, I ask you firmness in the affair. "Wa as'aluka al-azimata fil rushd." And oh Allah, I ask you for a strong determination upon guidance. "Wa as'aluka shukra ni'matik." And oh Allah, I ask you for gratitude upon your blessings. وَحُسْنَ عِبَادَتِكَ, and I ask you to allow me to worship you well. اللهم إني أسألُكَ يَقِينًا صَادِقًا. O Allah, I ask you for a truthful certainty. وَقَلْبًا سَلِيمًا, and I ask you for a heart which is sound. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ خَيْرِ مَا تَعْلَمُ, and I ask you for the goodness which you know. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا تَعْلَمُ, and I seek refuge in you from the evil which you know, from the evil things which you know which will occur. وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ مِمَّا تَعْلَمُ, and I seek forgiveness from you in that which you know, meaning the sins which I will commit that you know. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ, because you are the one who has knowledge of the matters of the unseen. And this dua has been compiled or narrated in At-Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i, وَصَحَّهُ الْأَلْبَانِي in سِلْسِلَةَ الصَّحِيحَةَ. Then the second part of this explanation is the general theme of this hadith, the general message in this hadith. In this hadith, the general theme is regarding al-ihsan, and that we should have ihsan towards the Creator, We should have ihsan towards the creation. In fact, we should have ihsan in everything. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith, he first gave a principle and then he gave an example, a practical example. And this is from one of the ways in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to teach the people. It's a mode of education which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to utilize. That first he would mention a general principle, and then he would make that principle easy for the people by giving examples which are practical and applicable to the people. And this hadith, it was mentioned, or it was collected by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih. And this same hadith has been narrated with different wordings. Some of them are authentic or some of them are weak. So in one of the wordings, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Inna Allaha muhsinun wa kataba al-ihsana ala kulli shay." Verily, Allah is muhsin and He has written ihsan upon everything. And then the rest of the hadith. So al-muhsin is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And al-muhsin, it means al-mutafaddil bin-ni'm. The one who has shown kindness to the people with his blessings out of his mercy and compassion and care for the people. In one of the wordings of the hadith, it is, "Inna Allah Azza wa Jal muhsinun fa ahsinu." Verily, Allah is muhsin, so you should have al-ihsan. "Fa'idha qatala ahadukum falyukrim maqtulahu." So if one of you kills, then he should take care of the animal which he has killed. In another wording of the hadith, "Inna Allah muhsinun," verily Allah is muhsin, fa'ahsinu, so have ihsan. "Fa'idha hakamtum fa'adilu," so if you judge, then be just. "Wa'idha qataltum fa'ahsinu," and if you kill, then kill properly. And in one of the wordings of the hadith, "Inna Allah katab al-ihsana ala kulli khalq." Allah has legislated ihsan upon every single facet of creation. And this message of goodness and doing things well, doing things properly and showing kindness, this and being just and fair, this theme is in the Quran in many ayat. For example, Allah said, "Inna Allah ya'murukum bil adli wal ihsan." Allah orders you with justice and ihsan, doing things well and properly and being kind and fair. And Allah said, "Ahsinu, inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin." Have ihsan because Allah loves the people of ihsan. And in the other ayah, Allah said, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu qawwamina lillahi shuhada'a bil qist." O people of iman, be devout to Allah and witnesses upon justice. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. And do not allow the wrongdoing of the people to not be just. Meaning even if the people do wrong, then you should remain upon justice. He said, اِعْدِلُوا, be just. هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى, because it is closer to التَّقْوَى. And many other ayat which have come with this meaning. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Inna Allah kataba." Verily, Allah has kataba. And the literal meaning of kataba is written. And the kitaba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is two types. There is al-kitaba al-qadariyah and al-kitaba al-shar'iyah. So kataba, literally it means Allah has written. Meaning Allah has legislated or decreed. So al-kitaba al-qadariyya is the universal decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this decree, whatever Allah has written, whatever He has decreed, it will occur. And there's nothing which can prevent the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this kitaba, this decree of Allah, which is qadari, which is universal, it will occur. And Allah has decreed for things to occur, even if those things are not beloved to Him. So for example, Allah has decreed upon this earth that there is shirk and there is kufr, there is disobedience. And had it not been for the decree of Allah, then none of this would occur. So Allah has decreed for all of this to happen, even though shirk and kufr and disobedience is not beloved to Him. So this is Al-Kitaba Al-Qadariyah, the universal decree of Allah, which has to occur. And yet, some of these things, Allah is not pleased with them occurring. And the wisdom is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is Al-Kitaba Al-Shar'iyah. And this is the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He has legislated upon the people. And sometimes it occurs and sometimes it does not occur. So for example, Allah legislated upon the people that they should have iman. And He's pleased with the people having iman. Some people have iman, others do not have iman. And like this. So we have to differentiate between the Kitab al-Qadariyah and the Kitab al-Shar'iyah. For example, Allah said in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذِكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادُنَا الصَّالِحِينَ. That we have decreed in the book, in the Zabur after the dhikr, that this earth of mine, it will be inherited by my righteous servants, my righteous worshippers. Meaning authority will be for the people of At-Tawheed. So this is the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Qadari. And it will occur without any doubt. For example, Allah said in the Quran, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. Allah has kataba, Allah has written, meaning Allah has decreed that me and my messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will be victorious. And this is what occurred in the Arabian Peninsula. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he first started, he only began with his best friend and his wife and a slave and a young child, Ali radiallahu anhu. And yet after 23 years, then the whole of the Arabian Peninsula had accepted Islam and succumbed to the rule of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this was the Kitab of Allah, Kitab Qadariyah. This was the universal decree of Allah which had to occur. And then there are other ayat in the Quran in which Allah kataba, which He legislates something and it occurs and it does not occur. For example, Allah said in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam. O people of Iman, fasting has been written, meaning legislated for you. But not everybody fasts, because this is Al-Kitab al-Shar'iyyah. Some people fast, others do not fast. Allah said in the Quran, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالَ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. Al-Qital, meaning Al-Jihad fi sabilillah, it has been written, I legislated upon you, and it is difficult for you. Some people fight Jihad, and others refuse to fight Al-Jihad. Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. As-salah is upon the believers, kitaban mawquta, meaning it has been legislated in its correct time. Some people pray and others do not pray. So in the Quran we find this kitaba mentioned in both types, al-kitaba al-qadariyah and al-kitaba al-shar'iyah. And what has Allah legislated upon us? Al-ihsan. What is the meaning of al-ihsan? It is ضِدُّ الْإِسَاءَ. It is the opposite of الْإِسَاءَ. الْإِحْسَان وَالْإِسَاءَةُ. So الْإِسَاءَ is doing bad, evil, harm, and doing things incorrectly. So therefore, إِحْسَان is doing things properly. And in reality, the word إِحْسَان, there is no translation for this word directly into the English language. So when we talk about إِحْسَان, we are talking about doing something with sincerity and doing something to the best of your ability and doing something in a nice manner with kindness and gentleness and it being fair and doing something which is correct, i.e. which is within the guidelines of Al-Islam. So all of these meanings are contained within the word Al-Ihsan. It doesn't only mean showing goodness. And this Ihsan, who should we show this ihsan to? The Prophet said, "Ala kulli shay." that ihsan is legislated upon you towards everything. And in the other wording, ala kulli makhluq, every type of creation you have to show ihsan towards. So notice, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not say al ihsan ila kulli muslim, show ihsan to every Muslim. In fact, he did not even say al ihsan ila kulli nas, show ihsan to all of the people, either Muslims and the non-Muslims. He said ihsan ila kulli shay, show ihsan towards everything, every asset of creation, Muslim, non-Muslim, young, old, animate, inanimate, trees, mountains, oceans, environment, the earth, your neighbor, everything you have to show ihsan towards. And this goodness, this ihsan which we have to show, it is according to that thing which we are showing ihsan to. So for example, there is ihsan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Khaliq. And how do we show ihsan to Allah? Like in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. Al-ihsan, an ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tara, wa illam takun tarahu fa'innahu yarak. The ihsan is worshipping Allah as if you can see Him. And if you know you cannot see Him, then know that He sees you. This is ihsan towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I.e. perfecting your ibadah towards Allah. This is al-ihsan. And then there is al-ihsan towards makhluq, towards the rest of creation. Now when it comes to al-makhluq, different types. So there is ihsan towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what is ihsan towards the Prophet? Fulfilling the shahada, ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, obeying him, staying away from disobeying him, staying away from everything which the Prophet dislikes, and only worshipping Allah in the way which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam worshipped. So the one who does bid'ah, then this is not ihsan. And the one who abides to the sunnah, this is ihsan. Defending him, supporting him, defending his honor, spreading his teachings, all of this is ihsan towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then there is ihsan towards the parents. And Allah said in the Quran, وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, show ihsan towards your parents. And this is in obedience to them and using gentle words with them, even if they are non-Muslims. But you don't obey them in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is ihsan towards the ulama. And this ihsan towards the ulama is by not backbiting them and speaking against their honor, rather respecting them. At-tarahum, if the scholar has passed away, you say rahimahullah, making dua for them, spreading their teachings, defending their honor. So this is ihsan towards the ulama. And then there's ihsan towards the Muslim rulers. And this is by as-sam' wa ta'a, by hearing and accepting their authority and obeying their authority, but not obeying them in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is ihsan towards the earth, and ihsan towards animals. And there is even ihsan towards the non-Muslim. And this is by giving them da'wah, calling them to at-tawheed, and showing them compassion and mercy. So the point is, in every asset of creation, Allah has legislated upon the Muslims that you have to show ihsan, sincerity, goodness, fairness, justice, kindness, and within the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is a general principle. Allah is muhsin, and therefore you have to also show ihsan. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave two examples which make this ruling clear to us. He said, فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَةِ, that if you kill, then have ihsan even in the killing. And then he said, وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ, so if you slaughter an animal, then slaughter with ihsan. Meaning, there is a person and he's being attacked by a dog, for example, أَكْرَمَكُمُ اللَّهِ. So he is now permitted to kill the dog. However, how should he kill the dog? Does he unnecessarily punish the dog and exceed the limits? No. He only retaliates back to the level by which this harm from the dog is stopped. Anything more than this is not allowed. And if he needs to put the dog down, then he does it in the best way, in the way which causes the least amount of harm and punishment. And this is al-ihsan even towards a dog, akramakumullah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. And if you slaughter, then also slaughter properly, slaughter well with ihsan. I do it in the best way, in the least harmful way, the least painful way, and don't exceed the limits. And what is al-ihsan? It is Islam. It is the sunnah. So we often hear this term that Allah has ordered us to be moderate Muslims. And this term, sometimes it is misunderstood. So being a moderate Muslim, it doesn't mean that Islam is over here and kufr is over here and you have to be 50% in the middle. This is moderation. Islam and kufr and you are in the middle. No, moderation is Islam. So when we say we have to be moderate Muslims, meaning we have to be Muslims 100% upon the sunnah. So sometimes you might be 99% over there, you're still being moderate. Or you might be 10% over here, you're still being moderate. So moderation and ihsan, this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is al-Islam. Islam came with moderation. Being a moderate Muslim is 100% following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it doesn't mean that some people, they keep a full beard and other people completely shave the beard, so I'll be in the middle and this is moderation. No. Moderation means that you are following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam 100% completely. Allah legislated justice and this is Islam. And He legislated ihsan and this is Islam. And He legislated wasatiyah. He legislated moderation and this is al-Islam. So you find in al-Islam some rulings which are severe. Like for example, the killing of a murderer. This is ihsan, this is fairness, this is wasatiyah. You find in Islam the segregation between the genders. This is wasatiyah, this is moderation. You find within Islam that a man has to dress in a particular way and a woman has to cover herself with the hijab. This is wasatiyah, this is moderation. And if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if he gave the example of animals, killing and slaughtering, and we have to show ihsan even when we're slaughtering an animal, then how about those things which are much greater than animals? For example, human beings. So why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam give the example of an animal? Because this animal is being slaughtered. It is being belittled. This dog which is harming you, or this chicken which you're going to eat. So if we have to show ihsan to these two animals, then showing ihsan to humans is much more. Even in al-jihad fi sabilillah. So al-jihad fi sabilillah is when the two armies meet, the Muslim army and the enemy army, and there is fighting and killing. However, even in the midst of jihad, you have to show al-ihsan. And for this reason, even in jihad, it isn't allowed for the Muslim army to exceed the limits, the rules and limits. So for example, from the limits is that you only kill and fight a person who is fighting you. You're not allowed to fight the non-Muslim who is not fighting you. Only the one who is fighting you. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. And fight in the way of Allah those people who are fighting you. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. And do not transgress. Do not exceed the limits. Do not oppress. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Because Allah does not love those people. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave us clear guidelines. He said, لَا تُمَثِّلُوا بِهِمْ. Do not mutilate their bodies. So after you have fought them, Muslims are not allowed to mutilate the dead bodies of the enemies. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا شَيْخًا. and do not fight or kill an old person. وَلَا امْرَأَةً and do not fight or kill a woman. وَلَا طِفْلًا and do not fight or kill a child. And do not transgress the sanctity of a church. وَلَا تَحْتَرِقُوا أَثْمَارَهُمْ and do not burn down their trees or their crops or their vegetation. And the fuqaha also mentioned وَلَا رِجَالُ الدِّينِ and also do not fight against the ministers of their religion, even Jews, Christians. If they're people of the religion and they're not fighting, you're not allowed to fight against them. In fact, in one of the versions of the hadith, وَلَا الْعَسْفَى and al-asfa is a farmer who has been employed to look after the farm. So even in al-jihad fi sabilillah, the innocent farmer, and he's a non-Muslim, he isn't allowed to be fought against or killed or destroy things. And all of this is from al-ihsan. And when it comes to al-dhabiha, when it comes to the slaughtering of the animal, he said, when you slaughter, فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ then slaughter properly. Meaning slaughter according to the rulings of Islam. So what is the method of Islam when it comes to slaughtering an animal? There are certain conditions. There are four conditions. The first condition is that the person who is slaughtering has to have al-ahliyah. He has to be qualified to slaughter the animal. So he has to be either a Muslim or kitabi, a Jew or a Christian. These three types of people, we are allowed to eat their meat if they fulfill the other conditions. Either Muslim or kitabi, Muslim or a Christian upon the religion of Christianity or a Jew upon the religion of Judaism. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلُّ لَكُمْ the food of those people who are given the book, Ahlul Kitab, is permitted for you. وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ and your food is permitted for them. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, he said, طَعَامُهُمْ أَيْلُحُومُهُمْ their food, meaning their meat, مَا ذَبَحُوا that which they have slaughtered. Secondly, the second condition is that the equipment which is being used to slaughter the animal has to also be permissible. It has to be something which is sharp, something which cuts the relevant part of the body, which something which allows the blood to flow and leave the body of the animal. And it isn't allowed for it to be a tooth or a bone or nails. This is not permitted. The third condition is inharu dam, ay salatuhu, that the blood of the animal has to flow. It has to be discharged from the body of the animal. And this is done by the cutting of the two veins. Al-Wijain, the two jugular veins which surround the on either side of the throat, which take blood from the head to the heart and back. Both of these have to be cut. And also it is permitted for the throat and the esophagus and both of the veins, all of that to be cut so the blood can flow. And the only exception to this is in hunting. So in hunting, first you have to catch the animal and that might require killing the animal. So if a person shoots an arrow, as long as he says Bismillah and then he shoots the arrow and then that arrow kills the animal becomes halal. And then he cuts the neck, even if the animal has already died. As long as the animal has died by the shooting of his arrow and not by something else. And then the fourth condition is the mentioning of the name of Allah. Bismillah, and then the two veins are cut. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكِرِ اسْمِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ and do not eat from anything which the name of Allah is not mentioned upon. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave us other guidelines with regards to al-ihsan when it comes to slaughtering an animal. He said, وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ that when you slaughter this animal and you're going to slaughter it properly and well, make sure your knife is sharp. Because if the knife is blunt, then you're going to harm the animal and cause unnecessary pain. So make sure the knife is sharp, so it is a quick cut and there's no unnecessary harm or punishment to the animal. And also, wal yurih dhabihatahu. And also, the animal which you are slaughtering, keep it calm. So it has to be quick, and it has to be a clean cut, and it has to be by a person who is proficient in slaughtering. He knows how to slaughter. And also, it isn't allowed for a person to slaughter one animal in front of the other animals, because then the other animals will feel pain and fear. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa an tuwari anil bahaim," that when you slaughter the animal, then keep it away from the other animals. Don't let the other cattle see the animal which is being slaughtered, because you are causing unnecessary harm. And this includes even the blood. Either other animals shouldn't see the blood of the animal, because then they realize that the animal is being slaughtered. And as I mentioned, if this is with regards to cattle and chicken, cows, sheep, goat, then how about human beings? Because in Al-Islam, the life and the blood of any human being, it is sacred and it is a sanctity and it cannot be violated without any correct reason. And this is by the mere fact that they are human beings, Muslim or otherwise. And Allah said in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Verily, we have honored the children of Adam, meaning all human beings are honored in Al-Islam. وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ. And we have carried them on the land and the sea. وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And we have provided for them from the pure things. وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. And we have made them better than many of the other things which we have created. And Allah said in the Quran, مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَٰلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And because of this, we legislated upon Bani Israel, أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. That whoever takes the life of another person or causes fasad upon the earth without any reason, is as if he has destroyed all of mankind. So in Islam, taking the life of a single person who is innocent is like killing all of mankind. And then he said, فَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا. And whoever gives life, meaning whoever protects the life of an innocent being, فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Then it's as if he has given life to the whole of creation. And this shows us the falseness and the fasad which the Khawarij spread upon the earth. Those people who kill innocent non-Muslims and in the process kill many Muslims as well in the name of jihad, in the name of Islam, this is only oppression and transgression, and Islam is free from all of this. As I mentioned, al-jihadu fi sabilillah, it has its place, it has its rules, it has its guidelines. It isn't the random killing of people. It isn't actions which are done on a vigilante basis. And also the hudud, the corporal punishments of Islam, it isn't correct for every person to carry out these punishments. It's only for the waliul amr, the ruler of the Muslims, in an Islamic state in which there is a judicial process and there are qudat, there are judges, and they can verify whether this person is innocent or guilty. All of these things is the right of Wali al-Amr. Then finally, what are some of the benefits we take from this hadith? First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Muhsin. He shows care, compassion and mercy towards the people by showing them goodness. Secondly, Allah has encouraged the Muslims to also show ihsan, that we have to also show goodness, care, fairness, justice and compassion to the rest of creation. The third benefit is that when you kill something, even in that killing, it has to be done with al-ihsan. So you cannot transgress the limit, like I gave the example of the dog. And also from the benefits of this hadith is that ihsan, it is al-Islam. So Islam, it embodies ihsan, and moderation and fairness. Also from the benefits of this hadith is that this ihsan which we have to show it is towards all of creation, not only Muslims, not only people and humans, not only living things, rather every single thing we have to show ihsan towards it. Also from the benefits of this hadith is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to educate the people. That from the prophetic methodologies of education is to give a general principle first and then give practical examples which are applicable to the people, relevant to the people, to make them understand the principle. Also, from the benefits of this hadith is the shar'i method of slaughtering an animal, and that the knife has to be sharp and the blood has to flow and the least amount of pain has to be caused, and an animal is not slaughtered in front of another animal, and the various conditions which we have mentioned. Also from the benefits of this hadith is, as I mentioned, the sharpening of the knife, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ. Make sure your knife is sharp when you are slaughtering. And the obligation of looking after the animals and showing care to the animals, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that when you're about to slaughter the animal, make sure it is in a good state. So if that is the case when it's about to be slaughtered, then how about when the animal is alive and is living upon the earth? We have to also show care and concern towards the animals. And apart from this, there are many other benefits. As I mentioned, this hadith, it applies to everything. Al-ihsan ila kulli shay. Show ihsan to everything. This word ihsan, it has two different meanings. It can mean doing something to perfection and completion to the best of your ability, or it can mean showing goodness to something. So if in the ahadith you find al-ihsan ala, ihsan with the word ala, then this means showing goodness to something, being kind towards something. And if you find the wording of the hadith al-ihsanu fi, ihsan is followed by the word fi, then it means doing that thing according to the best of your ability, i.e. al-itqan, doing things with precision and perfection and to the best of your ability. So for example, al-ihsan fi tarbiyah, that when it comes to cultivating your children, do it properly, to the best of your ability, with perfection and precision, and at the same time showing goodness to them. Al-ihsan fi ta'dib, even when it comes to disciplining your child, then do it properly. So even if you have to physically discipline your child, then it is always with the intention of cultivation and discipline. It isn't with the intention of punishment and revenge. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us that you're not allowed to hit a child on the face, and you're not allowed to hit a child which will leave a bruise. ضرب غير مبرح. It has to be a hit which leaves no bruise, and it isn't on the face. And other ways of al-ihsan. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.